March 23, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to study from Psalm 51. To the chief musician, a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Overall, David was a good king. He had an unbroken lineage, and he was one of the best kings they ever had. When talking about other kings, they often mention David as a comparison, so he sets the standard. He was loved by God, and he was a good king. But what happened with Bathsheba was not good at all. He killed Uriah, her husband, though indirectly, by leaving him at the dangerous place in the battlefield. David was rebuked by the prophet Nathan, and this psalm was written out of this experience. So this psalm tells us how we can bring ourselves out of sin when we commit a sin. Not everyone would commit a sin of this degree, but we are all sinful men. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. It is best if we don't sin, but if we do, since Adam and Eve, and as we covered in the morning service, Ishmael, who is a son of slave, got kicked out of Abraham's house. It is the same for us. If we are slave of sin, we cannot enter into God's kingdom and God's house, nor we will inherit the promises from the Father. David says that he acknowledges his transgression. It is an important thing. We should not acknowledge it. It often happens between the nations, like Japan declaring that the nation does not have any territorial dispute with Korea and China. Japanese government doesn't even acknowledge that there is a problem. But when we are dealing with our sins, we have to acknowledge it first and confess it, and only then God can work with us. Verse 5 and 6, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in my mother's conceived me. In sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. God says that his sinful nature came from his mother. Well, sin came to Adam because of Eve, so I think that David is saying is right. I heard some pastor preaching that sin is in our DNA. And even a little child who once was innocent and cute eventually learns to say and do bad things. You heard about the staff cells? They're currently arguing about the validity of the research, but I wonder if such created cells have sins too. But David says the sins have been passed down from his mother. It's like, because my mother is a Japanese woman, I was born with this eye color and the hair color. And if the mother was from another nation with another ethnicity, I might have looked differently. When you look at the mother and the child, you often see the similarity in every way. And same thing with our sins. So there are sins that you are responsible for, and there are sins that are simply passed down. So in a sense, we are all born with a spiritual disability. And when you read Genesis and fall of mankind in the beginning of the world, it makes us feel like we are losing the battle even before we start one. Like falling down in the first 2 meters of a full marathon. Of course, God can open up the path for us later. But this is the reality of our nature in the starting point. When I was a child, I could not see the stars. I did not know that my eyesight was that bad, when there were things that I just did not see, And I remember my cousin and I were looking at the moon, and he was talking about the shadows and all the shapes that he saw on the moon, and he asked me whether I thought the moon also had mountains and valleys. So I looked at the moon, but I did not see anything. I just saw the moon, but not all these details. And all my children have bad eyesight too, so I think they inherited that from me. But it's not like I studied hard or I read many books to restrain my eyes. I did none of that, but my eyes were bad to begin with. But when I was around fourth grade, my parents bought me a pair of glasses so I could read the blackboard for the first time, and after that it was fine. But the first 4 years in school, I just sat in the class not understanding anything because I simply could not read anything on the board. So what I'm trying to say is that there's always a way out. For my eyesight, my parents got me glasses. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So this is God's rescue plan for our sins. He can still wash us clean and makes us whiter than snow, like washing a soiled shirt with a detergent and become white as a brand new shirt. We could be as crispy clean like that. You could have a washing machine at home, but if you don't like to do the wash, your shirts would remain to be soiled and dirty. This is just you being lazy and not doing the laundry. And no one does the laundry only once a year. You need to do it a lot more frequently. Same thing with our spiritual washing. We need to be washed by the Holy Spirit to become clean as often as we need it. We cannot have it lying around for a long time ignoring the laundry. I used to live like a regular people and did not think much about our sins. But when I was in high school and accepted Christ, I became very aware of my sins. And now we do many selfless things like publishing and other works for the Lord. That is the reflection of God's heart in us. We are not using our time and energy to curse people and pray for other people's destruction, but we do what we do to bring salvation to other people. I believe this is because we are becoming whiter than snow. Now, people use washing machine, but I remember my mother used to use a washing board, and it was a serious labor. I once tried to help her, but she told me to stop it and go look for a job. And when you do it by hand, it is a hard labor, and you also have to rinse it many times. Washing of ourselves is not easy. It's not easy either. You need to spend time in prayer for the prayer with Holy Spirit so that He can wash you. Verse 8. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Breaking bones is part of God's way of correcting us when we are so deviated from His path. But as we come back to God's path, that's where you find the joy again. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. This is how we should pray too, that God does not see our sins. So He knows everything. You know some people who remember things for a long time and keep reminding you about it? I remember when I visited a seminary school. I think I was about to graduate from high school and I was considering to enter seminary, so I visited one. And there was a man who was in his 30s working at school, and he was taking care of various things around the school, and then he told me that he was cleaning the place one day, and as he was wiping things and dusting, the pastor's daughter, who was in fifth grade, was playing around, so he also wiped her face as a joke. And then she remembered that, and every single morning for about 2 weeks, she would come to him and tell him that he wiped her face every single day. Well, God is not like that. When you repent, he is willing to forget as you have never sinned. From verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. As you know, when we sin, the Holy Spirit leaves us, and we lose the joy of salvation. When we make a mistake and we feel the Holy Spirit has left us, like an angry wife leaving a husband, we repent and then pray like David, and that he might still come back to you and bring you back the joy of salvation. Verse 13. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. In the Old Testament era, people brought a lot of sacrifice to God, but what God really wanted and still wants is a broken spirit and broken heart for God. So we don't bring sheep or ram for a sin offering, but when we approach God with contrite and humble spirit with sincere repentance, that will be considered a sacrifice to God. The mystery of human life is that we all start from a fallen state, but God's plan kicks in afterward. It says in the book of Hebrews that, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to seed of Abraham. So in our next life, it will be ruled by the people, you and I, and not by the angels of darkness. I know it is not fair that we are born with this sin from 6,000 years ago, committed by Eve, but as we repent to God and find a way back to Him, it will all benefit us in the end. Satan cannot repent, but people can. So what appears to be a losing game, for Eve has sinned in the very beginning, God is bringing us to a victory, since His way is above and beyond we could ask or think. All things works for good when God is working behind the scene. Verse 18 and 19. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. The burnt offering is what people used to burn for God, like sheep and goat and cow. But we no longer burn the animal meat for God, but we are the sacrifice, and our flesh is burned by the Holy Spirit. Like David, we are up and against the wall. When we are up and against the wall and we don't know what else to do and cry out to God, then you're giving a room for the Holy Spirit to work in you. I'm not promoting sin, not at all. But what I'm trying to say is that if we sin, or if we ever sinned in the past, you acknowledge it to God, and He will somehow use it for our benefit. Myself too, since I'm doing the work of the Lord, I might get tempted or seduced to go into a different path. So I always have prayed to be guided by the Holy Spirit, and that is a sacrifice of righteousness and my burnt offering to God. So again, it is best not to sin, but if we ever fall, He will cause all things to work together for good for those who love Him.